It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Kamala Harris comes from the middle-of-the-road moderate wing of the Democratic Party, not the first choice of progressives.
Cultivating a moderate political reputation and inviting criticism from some liberals that she was insufficiently progressive on criminal justice issues.
Harris is not a radical. She's a centrist and a moderate.
The Trump campaign's been chomping at the bit for someone to attack, something to stick. And they seem to have only this attempt to tie a decidedly moderate ticket to the radical left.
Yeah, there's a reason. There's a reason for that. Sandy Rios with you. That was a montage on Fox and Friends this morning. And, of course, that's how the media is painting Kamala Harris. She's a moderate. New York Times wrote an article in which they said she's a pragmatic moderate. And then the Washington Post on Wednesday declared her as a small C conservative. The trouble is the facts do not bear that out. They just don't. There's no contest. In fact, when she has served in the Senate, she's still there. Her voting record is further left than Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders. She has been rated the most liberal senator in the U.S. Senate. So we could talk about her view on abortion for all 9 months. She's the one that went after David Del Eyton in California for making those Planned Parenthood undercover videos mercilessly. Her record as a prosecutor is not what they say. People have talked about how hard she prosecuted. Giuliani was talking about it last night, and he was saying she arrested a lot of little people, like a lot of marijuana users, but let the big drug-dealing people alone. That's just one snapshot. She, of course, is for decriminalizing crossing the border illegally. She's for a lot of things that are bad that we would be concerned about, and we will, over the course of the weeks, we'll be talking about Kamala Harris's record. I guess one thing we'll do here just this morning, because I want to open the phone lines and have some time to talk with you this morning, but let's play for a second clip 10, because Mike Pence actually weighed in on this, and I wanted you to hear how he analyzed what was happening with the appointment selection of Kamala Harris, clip 10.
Joe Biden's decision to add Kamala Harris to the ticket confirms everything President Trump and I have been saying, and that is that Joe Biden and the Democratic Party have been overtaken by the radical left. Kamala Harris, like Joe Biden, supports higher taxes, socialized medicine, open borders, abortion on demand, and where Joe Biden said he'd be willing to cut funding to police, she said recently that she thought that we should reimagine the police in this country. And I just have to tell you, I like the matchup.
Yeah, so that's his assessment of it, and I think it's a pretty good assessment. The other interesting thing is Kamala Harris, you know, they're leading with she's an African-American, and I have to say that's not how the people that she comes from. She's half Jamaican, and she's half Indian, as an Eastern Indian. And I've read a couple of things this morning that if I had more time, I would share with you about how badly that sits with them, including her own father, who has distanced himself from her because he basically said that she's, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he's very upset with his daughter and has distanced himself from her because he feels like she's willing to say and to position herself as anything in order to get elected. And he said, that's not who we are. That's embarrassing to us as a family. So Kamala Harris is not African-American. She's Jamaican, and she is half Eastern Indian. And so the Eastern Indians are not crazy about this either. If I had time, I would give you some illustrations of that. But again, there's plenty of time to discuss that, and we can when we open the phone lines if you want to. But right now, I want to change the subject a little bit because, coronavirus, We have to talk about it, don't we? Because we have to live with it every day. And things are getting, in some places, I think some people are getting tired of this and beginning to sort of resist in quiet ways, maybe not wearing the mask quite as much. But in San Diego, it's the opposite, and it's the opposite in other places too. In some businesses that you're probably shopping in, there's still strict rules, and people are still barking orders and getting mad at each other for not following rules. But in San Diego, this probably is the most extreme example. This is a San Diego council member, Jennifer Campbell. She's out like outside. You can see in the background of people in shorts, young people. So she's like gathering, I guess, where the rule breakers are gathering. And I want you to hear what she has to say. Clip 11.
Council member Jennifer Campbell. I'm a physician, and I've been wanting since day one of this COVID thing for this city and this county to get strong. This is a life-threatening situation. Oh, it would be wonderful if OB could be its old self, get together, see old friends, new friends, and have fun. That's what we want to happen again. But right now, people who come here with no mask, with no distancing, are being irresponsible, and they could get sick, deathly sick, and die. Every day, more and more San Diegans are dying. So we have to get tough. And I'm telling you, if this situation that happened last Wednesday night happens this Wednesday night, there's going to be a lot of clamp down. And so they have got to stop it. They have got to, and they've got to behave in a responsible, adult, mature manner. This is a worldwide emergency. Every single person has to take part in ending it. We have not had the kind of national leadership we need, but we have an election coming. So hopefully that will change. But in the meantime, it's up to us. The guy has put it on us. All right, so the county has a rule. No more than 10 can get together. Whether it's in your house, whether it's out here in a park, wherever it is. And by God, that is now the law. And therefore, the county sheriff should be arresting people who aren't wearing masks, who aren't distancing, and who are coming together too strong. Believe me, I have heard my constituents. I understand what you're going through.
All right, I'm gonna interrupt her. That's enough. You get the point. It's a worldwide emergency. It is. We have to come together. You're going to be dying, and there should be punishment. This is what Alex Berenson refers to as panic porn, or pandemic porn, and that's what he calls it, a pandemic porn. Because really, if that were true, like if you knew that your neighbors, you were seeing them carried out in body bags, and you saw that people were spreading the disease, your children, two of your three children, or one of them had died, if you actually saw what she's talking about, and if it was really actually true and proportionate, then she would be right, right? Reminds me of the time I was in Rochester, Minnesota, and I saw a cloud. It was tornado season, and there had been some terrible tornadoes. And I saw this cloud. I looked toward the hospital, Mayo Clinic. We were taking my little girl when she was so sick. And I looked, the clouds were low because there was a storm coming. And as I said, there had been terrible, terrible tornadoes. In Xenia, Ohio, people had been killed. And I saw this funnel coming out of those low clouds. And I said, Mother, my mom was with me with Sasha. And I said, Mother, come, there's a tornado. Come on. And we grabbed our stuff, and we ran out of the hotel room. And I'm running up and down the street, and I'm yelling at people, there's a tornado coming! There's a tornado coming! Yeah. So, but I noticed no one was responding. And then a guy came out of one of the rooms in the hotel leaning up against the wall, and he said, you know, I think that's the boiler at the hospital. And I looked at the cloud, you know, the funnel cloud again, and it was the clouds were low, and it was the boiler, you know, plume, whatever, from the boiler. I was so embarrassed. But the point is, I was shouting because I wanted people to be saved, but there really wasn't a real threat. And so that's my point with this, and I want to make my point on that because This morning we looked up San Diego. San Diego has a population of 1.426 million. And the COVID deaths, and of course the problem is we can't really trust what they're saying about COVID deaths for the reason that the CDC is now using different kinds of words here. They are claiming, they've been doing this from the beginning. I hope that you know that. Instead of saying died with COVID, died from COVID, they use the phrase died with COVID. So a lot of people that are dying, you know this, right? Because you listen to me a lot. A lot of people who've died from other things are labeled as died with COVID, and that's counted in the COVID deaths, even though they didn't die from COVID. So, but given that, the ones in San Diego that are attributed to COVID died with COVID, 594 people. And that means the death rate in San Diego out of a population of 1.426 million is 0.04%. There are not many people dying in San Diego from COVID, and yet she's out screaming that the sky's falling, it's a worldwide pandemic. And to make the point further, Daniel Horowitz wrote an article that yesterday about Hawaii. He said Hawaii has had the strictest probably lockdown and mask mandates in the country. They've done things like they've jailed people for violating lockdown orders. By the way, they've released their criminals in the process. You know how this goes, because they have leftist leaders, and so they've been releasing criminals, but they've been jailing people who violated lockdown orders. Tourism has just been eradicated in Hawaii, and so they have mandated that people must wear masks even indoors and even outdoors while jogging. That's Hawaii. Well, the problem is now Hawaii has cases. I'm not saying deaths. Cases are surging in Hawaii with the strictest mask mandate ever, which means that the cases are surging more than ever, just like in the Philippines, Hong Kong, and Israel, and Australia. And so what it means is that it has no effect. If mask mandates were ever going to work to stop a spread, it would have occurred in Hawaii, which is isolated from the rest of the world on all sides. In fact, the exact opposite has happened. Hawaiians have nothing to show for their lockdown but a crushed economy and lives lost. Sure, they have a low death rate, but that has nothing to do with stopping the spread with mandates. The spread has not stopped. Same dynamic in New Zealand. The country has been on perpetual state of lockdown since March at an unfathomably painful cost. The question is whether you will destroy your country while it does. The virus does what it does, Daniel writes. Sweden achieved this without destroying its country? They did not lock down. They did not wear masks, and they had herd immunity. People got it. It went through, and it's gone, and they're flourishing. And Daniel ends by saying Hawaii crushed its tourism industry with mandatory quarantines, backed by the threat of criminal prosecution. Now they have 22.6% unemployment, the second highest rate in the U.S. with nothing to show for it, but surging cases and hundreds of criminals roaming the streets. And then one last thing I want to share with you about statistics. This is Steve Deese is you probably know who Steve is, and I don't want to take my few seconds here left to tell you, explain that, but he's compiled some statistics from the Centers for Disease Control, and this is what they are. In regard to COVID, age 85 and older make up 32% of the U.S. population, but one-third of COVID deaths. Age 75 and older make up 75% of U.S. population, but 59% of COVID deaths. Age 54 and younger make up 75% of the U.S. population, but 8% of COVID deaths. Deaths do not register at all until the age of 15 through 24 in the CDC. And even then, kids K through 12 make up 0.02% of the population. So in other words, kids are not dying. They're not in danger of dying. And that report about the 7-year-old in Georgia was a fake report. He had a seizure in the shower, and they claimed it was a COVID death. Because he tested positive. He was carrying the virus. Didn't mean he was sick from it. The median age of COVID-19 deaths is around 78, which is the average U.S. life expectancy. All right, so just telling you that we have been duped, we've been lied to, and we are responding in fear. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll open the phone lines next when we return.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by August 31st, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Secretary Pompeo heads up the Department of State and is a member of the President's Cabinet. As Secretary, he focuses on United States foreign policy. Psalm 22:28 reminds us of God's ultimate dominion over all the countries of the world. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Secretary Pompeo to do your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Gail Blair is blind. She lost her eyesight at the age of 37. The one thing that kept her grounded during those very difficult days was her relationship with God. Gail is now 63 years old. She spends much of her time sharing the gospel of Christ with people who live in Westerly, Rhode Island. But that turned out to be a big problem for city leaders. She was ordered to stop witnessing in a local park as well as the local library. City leaders even called on police to stop the former nurse with a trespass warning. First Liberty Institute is representing Gail. They filed a lawsuit alleging she was unfairly banned because of her religious beliefs and her disability. What's really interesting is that many public parks and buildings around the nation have been commandeered by anarchists, setting up autonomous zones, causing all sorts of mayhem. But in Westerly, Rhode Island, the greater threat is a blind woman sharing the gospel in a park. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. We are going to open the phone lines. The phone number, in case you wanted to know, in case you've forgotten, is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'm going to read a few email to you also. I do, as I always tell you, I really enjoy hearing from you. And I'm rarely able to respond to you the way I want to. But today we're going to do at least some of these, and you might want to listen too. Some of you might have some wisdom for some of the people that are writing, and you might have something to say to weigh in to help them or give them some of your perspective on a particular issue that they bring up. Our phone number again is 888-589-8840. Excuse me. Now, this morning I got, this is from Pat. She said this morning, my husband saw our family doctor about a minor issue, and he asked the doctor about hydroxychloroquine. Immediately, the doctor went into a rant about Trump and told my husband that he didn't want to waste his time discussing it. So we're going to look for a new family doctor. It seems that so many doctors have been brainwashed against even trying it for COVID that we don't know where to turn. We live in Richmond, Virginia. Do you have any suggestions on how we can find a doctor that would let us try hydroxychloroquine should we need it? I don't, Pat, but maybe someone listening, if you don't have a call on that, but if you know of someone you can recommend, can you email us at sandy@afr.net? and we will pass this on to Pat. But yeah, hydroxychloroquine has been a real, it's amazing what a flashpoint. And we know from so many different sources how effective it has been. It's been on the market for 70 years, and now we have all of these efforts to completely discredit it in terms of, and make it sound like a dangerous drug. When, as I understand, of course, all drugs, I guess, have some danger to them. We don't, you get that like huge little pamphlet of contraindications if you take a medication. But by and large, it's pretty safe. It's been used by missionaries and military for decades. And we know that if it's used with other things like Z-Pak or erythromycin, I'm not a doctor. I'm just spouting off what I've heard. Certainly don't. You have to go to a doctor to get this, and that's as it should be in the right combination. But doctors, wasn't it interesting that city, that San Diego council member, Jennifer Campbell, who said she's self-described as a doctor, about a minute into her tirade in the open air there about, you know, warning people about this worldwide emergency, she kind of tipped her hand as to her political views. Did you notice? She said, we have an election coming up, and hopefully that'll all change. Well, you know, it's like that doctor that I played a clip from him a couple of days ago. Doctor, I think it was Perry Wilson was his name. He's a doctor at Yale, so he should know, right? He had a lab coat on, and he was very winsome and engaging, very smiley. And he did a long thing about why hydroxychloroquine is not good. And it just it's just very small, the percentage of help that it gives. And he just sounds so convincing, although, albeit, I have to say, a little bit too happy. I would think that a doctor would be sad that something that's easy to obtain and held the promise of saving people's lives who contracted hydroxychloroquine would be sad that if he indeed did find that it didn't work. But he was quite happy about it. That's odd to me. And then I noticed on the shelf behind him, I'm sure he did not know that this showed up, but I just saw a little bit of it and investigated, and it turned out to be a book that was just like really vitriolic diatribe about how wicked and mentally ill Donald Trump is. He probably didn't, and that's why he was so happy. He had a political agenda, and so did this doctor. We know that there are so many studies, the doctors that did those that long press conference and briefing that was taken off Facebook and Twitter, you know, they talked a lot about hydroxychloroquine, and there are doctors all over the place that have come out to talk about the effectiveness of it. So if you know anyone that's got symptoms of COVID, I can't say enough about how you should find a doctor that will give that to you. So I think that Pat's doing the right thing there. So she needs a doctor in Richmond that will do that. If you have an idea, let me know. All right, this is personal. This is from Victor. He's a pastor, Pastor Victor. He just said, we're praying for you, me and my wife Carmen, for your protection. And we also pray for your son in Scotland. And that's so sweet, Victor. I know it's not a small thing. So I don't generally read the real personal ones, but I wanted to read that because I thought it was so sweet. And this is a same thing. This is from Scott. He said, if I could, I know you get a lot of hate that comes your way, talking about email and various things. I've listened to your show for a while, and even though I am now unemployed, I still get up early to listen. You are a breath of fresh air. I appreciate all that you do and respect you have for our country and, more importantly, religious freedom. I also would like to thank your husband for his hard work as an FBI agent. I'm sure he had to battle as hard as you do every day. He said, is it simply refreshing to have good people in high places defending common sense Americans? You are appreciated, and God bless. Scott, that's so sweet. And I just, one of the reasons I wanted to read your email out loud is because you mentioned Bruce, my husband. Those of you that listen a lot, you know he's great. When I bring him on, he's a retired FBI agent, and he has a lot to say about what's going on now. And I wanted you to know that one of the things that's happened in my busy week when I was gone last week is that he had major surgery. This is personal stuff, okay? He had a surfboard accident way a long time ago, broke his collarbone. This is in the 90s, and his shoulder never healed properly, and it's just gotten so bad that the pain is unbearable, and it's been unbearable for years. And so he just had it replaced a week ago today, actually. So, the doctor has done an amazing job, I think, of reconstructing all that messed up shoulder, and he seems to be doing pretty well. So I really do appreciate your prayers. We got a lot going on here right now. So We appreciate your prayers. Both of us do. I know he will also. This is from Candace. She points out that a headline, I don't know what it's a headline from, but it says, this is the headline, Trump will use emergency powers to remain in White House if he loses election, says House Majority Whip. And Candace points out that when you actually read the article, the senior majority whip said Trump could use emergency powers. He doesn't say will use. And it wasn't Donald Trump saying he will use emergency powers to remain. It was the senior majority whip who said he could use them. It wasn't Trump saying anything about that. And her point is how they are twisting headlines and everything else to, manipulate us, which is a good example of what we talk about all the time. And then last but not least, I want to read this one. This came before I left to go out of town last week, but it was so moving and I didn't get to it. And so I want to take the time right now to read it if I could. I actually am not going to use her name because I think I'm going to try to hold her privacy here. I don't know that if she intends. Yeah, I want to just be careful. So she said, this is a different subject now. You once discussed on your program several Christian leaders who were supporting the social justice cause and allowing themselves to be used to promote social justice. I believe these people were associated with a gospel coalition. Where can I get information about this organization and their influence on Christians today? Gospel Coalition was part of the discussion, but there were others. There were the strains of the Southern Baptist Convention that have moved towards social justice, some of the seminaries. It's like a poison that's spreading in evangelical circles, and it's spreading to a lot of places. And so she's asking me for information, so I want to tell all of you that if you look for enemies of the church, that's a project underway, and those are people I have interviewed who are working on what's going on inside the church. They have videos of professors from various universities who are talking about what they're seeing. It's pretty disturbing. Julie Royce is another person. Julie Royce, R-O-Y-S. I think she's got the Royce Report. Adam, if you guys could look that up, and we'll put that on our Facebook page. You can refer to those for more information about any of that whole strain of social justice moving down and really chipping away, I think, at the foundations of solid biblical teaching. But then she goes on to say, my daughter is a Never Trumper, and she's connected with one of these organizations. And so her lectures to me on my support of Trump are quite hurtful. I am at a loss as how to communicate with her without offending her, although she claims she's not offended. Yet her voice trembles when we talk. She finds no redeeming value in our president, and her main beef, if I'm understanding her, is that I like or repost comments that call out Christians who do not support our president or encourage others to pray for our president. I believe in her mind I am sinning by being hurtful to these other believers. She's calling me out, as is her responsibility as a sister in the Lord. I inadvertently sent her a video of a Christian brother who urged Christians to support Trump in the election because he's standing in the gap for our Christian values and needs us to vote and stand up for him. I quickly messaged her and said I didn't mean to send that and apologized. But it was too late. She called. She was teary. And once again, she called her mom out for being hurtful to Christians who choose not to support Trump. She noted that Trump's spiritual advisor, Paula White, was a heretic, and how could I support him with her in his life? I pointed out that he has other evangelicals in sphere of influence, such as Mike Pence, Franklin Graham, and Robert Jeffress, and said how would she explain their support? She says she doesn't agree with everything Franklin Graham says, so I'm asking you, who is who are these people that are teaching and preaching and social justice in these various entities and groups? And where's my daughter getting her talking points? I find I don't know her. She says I don't offend her. But then she complains that in my home I have a red MAGA hat displayed. I don't know how to talk with her, and it's hurting our whole family. My other two children are Trump supporters, and they feel they are walking on eggshells around her, too. I've told her that it is okay for us to disagree and to let each of us have our opinions, But that doesn't seem to be good enough for her, because when I post anything, she uses Snopes or this other organization to tell me what I reposted is fake. How do I reason with this? I pray you can give me some guidance as to how to respond to her. Right now I'm asking just the Lord to open her eyes and to open mine if there's something I need to do differently. And so I want to, this is hard, you know. I would never claim that I have the answer for this, except that she represents what I hear from so many of you and what I hear among my friends about what's happening with our children. And so just a couple of things that come to my mind, and then some of you may have some thoughts too. I guess one thing to remember is that Jesus quite clearly said that he came to set families against each other, turning mother against, son against father, and father against son, and siblings against each other. And that was a curious thing that he said, but he's talking about the move of the Holy Spirit, the righteousness that God brings into our lives that separates. It does not unify us with others that do not, generally speaking, I find it's those that do not have that power of the Holy Spirit or do not grow in their understanding of Scripture who are on the warpath. It isn't generally the ones, you know, we those of us that know Jesus deeply, we don't necessarily, we feel the need to persuade but not do battle, because we know God is in charge. And we know ultimately the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to have to speak, just as this listener said that she's praying for her daughter that God will change her heart, because she knows she can't do that. No amount of arguing is going to change it. So I think that this is a reality. This is what Jesus said was going to happen. And so in some ways, the message is, this is the way it is. If you're serious about your commitment to the Lord, it's going to cause division between your friends, your families, old acquaintances. Now, that's different than politics, I know, but there's some elements that lap over. And the issue with Donald Trump does, because he has, for his personal failures, he certainly has championed righteous causes, including pro-life causes, the sanctity of human life. That's just one I'll mention. And so I think her response would tell us something about what's happening in her. Her anger, it doesn't seem like passion, it seems like disturbance. She seems very disturbed that you are supporting President Trump, instead of just being able to say, well, that's my mother, and let's talk about it, Mom. She's very disturbed, and that would say to her, something's not right here. This, because, you know, I remember when Barack Obama, do I ever remember when he was running, and I had so much information about him, because I worked on the Alan Keyes campaign, and I knew it was a disaster. And I saw all kinds of people that I knew, you know, singing his praises. I went to Israel and I had to do a whole like intervention with a lot of people in Israel because they thought he was the best thing since sliced bread. So my job was to just give them the facts and tell them what was going on. And it bothered me. Of course it disturbed me, but I know that ultimately God controls this stuff. It's my job to speak the truth. I can't, you know, like get upset and angry and get into arguments. Good arguments. Let's see. I'm not expressing myself well on this. I believe in like having a good, healthy argument, so I'm not saying that. But I don't believe, I don't think you can really take on your family members or your friends if they don't want to listen. So she probably needs to be more respectful. The other thing it reminds me of is when my son was younger, he wasn't terribly rebellious, but he could be very hateful. He's like his mom. He has lots of words. And it used to hurt me so much. And my mother used to say to me, Sandra Kay, you're going to have to don't you let him get away with that, because she was saying, you are the mother and he is the son. And there was a line which the kids, we've given them a little bit too much rope, I think, all of us of my generation, a little bit too much rope, and they've lost a little respect. So there's a point at which you say that, you know, enough. And so you might want to think about that too. Okay, those are my random, loosely constructed thoughts for what they're worth. I hope they're worth something. And we'll be right back with your calls after this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God, it will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio. Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. At the height of a Holy Spirit outpouring in Samaria, where the gospel was being preached with great power and droves of people were converting to follow Christ, the Lord instructed Philip to leave Samaria and head south to Gaza. Philip didn't know a divine appointment awaited him. Through his ministry to the Ethiopian eunuch, the gospel would spread to Africa. He left the crowd to serve one. I call this step-down faith. It's easy to step up for the attention and applause of the masses, but do we have step-down faith?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here. Joe Biden has made his VP pick, Senator Kamala Harris of California. Biden was forced to choose a black woman by 100 black political leaders who demanded he make his choice based on skin color rather than merit. 15 Democrats lasted longer than she did in the Democrat primary, and she finished with just 7% support in her home state of California. She washed out of the primary last year without even making it to the year 2020. She supports defunding the Pentagon and defunding the police. She wants to ban plastic straws and limit how much red meat Americans can eat. She supports Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal, which will leave America bankrupt and literally in the dark. She supports abortion up to and beyond the moment of birth. Other than that, she sounds like a dandy candidate.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. 6 decades ago, millions of Americans rallied to support domestic opponents of Soviet communism by making these refuseniks famous, many of whom were imprisoned in the deadly prison camps and psychiatric wards of the Gulag Archipelago. Their supporters here and elsewhere in the free world helped protect them from the worst of the Soviets' abuses and perhaps death. Fox Business host Maria Bartiromo sought to provide similar protection to today's refuseniks, the courageous freedom fighters in Hong Kong, now personified by media magnate Jimmy Lai. The CCP arrested him earlier this week for, quote, colluding with foreign powers, unquote. Undeterred following his release on bail, Jimmy spoke forthrightly this morning to Maria about the need for change in China, the danger posed by its Maoist dictator Xi Jinping, and why Western civilized values are the only basis for peace. Stand with Jimmy and Hong Kong. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you. Eager to be back with you. Let's go right away to Paula in Oklahoma. Good morning, Paula. How are you?
Hi, Sandy. I'm going to try to stay patient and calm over this whole matter. I just would like to say to all the people who claim they are Christ followers that they need to get out and vote against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I lived a life of homosexuality, and I had an abortion, and there's other things I could say also. But God saved me, and I am a born-again Christian, and I get so frustrated that it's not spoken up. And like you say, stand up and speak up because we are losing everything, and babies are losing their lives because we don't want to hurt people's feelings, or we don't want to tell them that being a lesbian is wrong. And my whole life was a lie, and I hated myself. And so for Christians to just sit on their duffs and, oh, well, that's the way God made them, it's not true. He died for our sins. He'll save you if you will just commit your life and it to him.
Paula, it's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing to hear you be so open about this, and that God bless you for that. The thing of it is, Paula, we were all sinners. You know, that Titus 3:5-5, remembering that you too were once afar off. You were once, and then Paul goes through this whole list of sins. It's just different, and there may be more shame in sexual sin. I think there is. I think it's a sin against your body and your heart and soul, and it's hard to get over, but there's adultery and there's pornography. There's all kinds of stuff. And so God absolutely died for all sins. I heard the same kind of line you just mentioned when I mentioned this on the air before, and I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I had a friend who was very much a man and wanted to become a woman. It was shocking. I'd known him for 20 plus years. When I tried to get him help, I was told by pastors, well, that I just find that they can't change, you know, that's just the way it is. And I agree with you that that's kind of the word on the street. Like, you know, what's the use? And it's just not true. It's such a lie. And so I'm glad to have you say that. Now, I want to ask you, why then do you think, given your background, what difference would why are you so against Kamala Harris and Joe Biden in regard to that?
Because they're for same-sex marriage and abortion. And I've worked in the school systems, and it is just blatant. And that is what they are going to do. Is there are children that are just being told that they can be this way. And instead of telling them that God has a plan for their life and that he does not, that is not what he has planned for them. They are going to change this whole United States.
Yeah, absolutely, Paula.
The church and the pastors, they are accepting of this. It is so hard for me to find a church.
Paula, are you in a Southern Baptist church?
I was, but I'm not anymore now.
Well, see, that's what I find. It's like a poison. It's like the teaching is that it's just the way they are. They shouldn't act out on it, but it's like a death sentence, really, in this life. Like you're consigned to live with your death. There's no freedom in Christ. There's no delivery. At least that's not what I hear preached. I hear, you know, don't be so judgmental, but as long as they don't act out on it, you know, we need to accommodate. And it's just a lie. It is just a lie. Paul, I have to move on, but God bless you and keep you. And we heard everything you said. Thank you, ma'am. Let's go to Linda in Arkansas. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Linda. Hello. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Sandy. I didn't know it was my turn.
It's your turn.
My kindred spirit. I love you.
Oh, thank you. I love you back.
I think it was back in June when all the riots were running and carrying on, you know, with all this insanity, that you, it was on a Monday, and you said that you had proof that Obama was behind a lot of this stuff that was going on. And you said you couldn't get into that proof that day because you had a guest on, and you said you would bring it up again on Tuesday, and I listened, and you didn't, and I kept listening day after day, and you never did get back to that. And
which stuff are you speaking about? Which thing are you saying?
You had proof
of what, though? Proof of what?
That Obama was behind a lot of this revolutionary activities going on back in June.
I think you'd be. I don't know what I was talking about then because I read so much stuff. But I listen, if you just Google, just Google Barack Obama, Black Lives Matter, you will see it's kind of, I'm sure there are some blatant articles about it, but I don't know what that particular article was then. Joe Biden, of course, his staffers right now, we know that they have given tons of money to Black Lives Matter. Barack Obama's up to his neck in this because he is a he was raised by his mentor was Frank Marshall Davis, the communist. Barack Obama is a Marxist. So everything that's happening on the streets is
that social justice. He loves to promote that.
Yes, and Marxism. He's a Marxist, and so it's not hard to find that. I don't know if I can give you a particular article, but if you Google that, you'll come up with some articles on it. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the exact one, Linda. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Let's go to Sheila. Sheila in Mississippi. Hey, Sheila, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. Thank you. I'm driving. I'm going to be quick about this. Sandy, I just have a question and a comment. So I see the reel, and it's encapsulated in the surreal. Well, what I don't get is how these Western civilization and autonomous governments have just caved to some entity, some authority, some head. I want you to comment, please, on where is this CPU, and how are we caving like this to some authority we can't even recognize or put our finger on? And I thank you for taking the question, and we'll hang up.
Hang on, Sheila. You're talking about the Communist Party USA? Is that what you meant? When you said CPU? Okay, all right, Sheila, I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry, I'm just not quite sure about what she asked me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to answer that unless you guys can talk in my head and tell me what I missed there. But let's go to, sorry, Sheila, I'm sorry, I just didn't quite catch what you said. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Todd. Good morning, Todd. Good morning, Todd. Make sure you turn your radios off when you join me, please, because there's a big delay and that's messing things up here a little bit. Todd, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Hi. What's on your mind?
I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
We gotta stop this division in this country. All it's doing is hurting American people in general. When are we gonna stop using political party and start using ourselves as human beings? I mean, you know, the Bible says one thing, and it's so perfectly clear that men are liars. And they corrupt, and they use this corruption to get what they want. I mean, just think about this, okay? Trump's been in office for a while. How is your finances? I mean, I go to work every day. Trump ain't helped me, but I mean, he's the president. Let's look at the Obama situation. He was in power for 8 years. He's never helped me. I mean, if you're gonna help somebody, won't you do it? Won't you help them financially? I mean, look at the project. They still the same? I mean, this is disgusting. I mean, nobody wants to address the problem because everybody's too greedy. I'm going to hang up and listen to you, sister. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Todd. Well, the thing that you started to say that I was really relating to was that we don't treat each other as human beings. I think that's one of the things about COVID that's really bothered me, is the way we have dehumanized each other. You know, when you go to the grocery store and people have that, either they don't look at each other in the eyes anymore. You can't see smiles. You can't see facial expressions. You see a lot of hostility. You see fear. And it does remind me of that novel, 1984, and that frightens me. Yeah, when I was at the airport, I told you, you know, I've been in several airports lately. You know, there's this constant, the CDC guidelines say 6 feet apart. Be sure and wear a mask at all times. The CDC guidelines, over and over and over again. That's indoctrination. That is just like George Orwell's 1984. And so we become dehumanized. We're being dehumanized. That's why I take my mask off. I really do not wear one unless somebody's really scared, like the young man next to me on the plane a couple of weeks ago I told you about, because I want to see people's face. I want to smile. I want to be a blessing when I'm in a store, not angry. Anyway, but Todd, to your last part, I don't exactly know what your point was, but I do think that there has been, I would argue with you and Donald Trump, I believe he has actually helped people a lot economically. He's got all of these projects for the black community in inner cities. that he's been working on, which have been powerful. And until this fake pandemic came along and we shut everything down with total irrationality and destroyed our economy pretty much and jobs, you were doing better even if you didn't know it. So I would argue that that point's not a good one to make. All right, so let's go on. Let's go to let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Good morning, Lynn.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. My phone has been giving me problems, especially when I try to call in to you. But anyway, it's a new phone, a new iPhone. Anyway, I noticed I'm interested in natural healing and all that, and I used to be an avid newspaper reader, and I noticed all of these pandemics, like the beginnings of them, and then it was like they were trying to scare people is my point. And but I was looking at it from a health viewpoint, not a political viewpoint. And then I happened to turn on Focal Point one day. It was in May. I wish I had the date, but I don't have it here for anyone to listen to the podcast. But the host was Alex McFarland that day, and the guest was Bill Federer. And Bill Federer was saying that every election year there was a pandemic.
Yeah,
now,
that's true.
The pandemic, yeah, they didn't... Dell, you know what I mean? But, you know, like they made this. I mean, we know they made this one happen. We know what they're doing. But
yeah, they do it every year. They do every 4 years. You're absolutely right about it. I wish I had the list in front of me so I could spout them off. But you're spot on, Lynn. And thanks for mentioning that. Let's go to Marilyn in Texas. Marilyn, you have about a minute. That's all.
Okay. It'll be quick. Kamala Harris was called Kamala Harris was spoken by Tucker Carlson on Fox Radio the other night, and he accidentally called her Cammy. CNN went apoplectic over it and called, you know, because he mispronounced her name. And then Joe Biden did the same later. Okay, I'm walking. I'm sorry, I'm out of breath. Anyway, so then I got to thinking, if her name had been Kamala when she was growing up, she would have been called Cammy, probably. But as being called Kamala, I think her name is now Kami.
Oh, very good. Very good. I think, you know, I actually think, oh, I shouldn't say this unless I know for sure. I think someone related in the campaign said something about comrades recently. I'm not going to be specific because I have to look that up. Yeah, that comrade, anytime you hear the word comrade, comrade, they're not going to use Kami, but comrade, it is a red alert. Because that's what communists call each other. That's what they still call each other. And that's what Black Lives Matter calls each other. They're comrades. Antifa as well. Marilyn, thanks. That's very interesting. All right. Well, I hope that you have a good evening. And I hope that you... By the way, let me mention to pastors again that this America at the Crossroads, a 911 call for pastors. It's going to be coming up August 30th, 31st, and the 1st of September. They will pay for your registration for the first 200. It's going to train you on these critical theory, white privilege, Black Lives Matter, COVID-19, all kinds of stuff, prayer, worship. And if you want to go, you need to email Rick Scarborough at rs@jonathanproject.org. rs@jonathanproject.org. And I urge you, pastors, to be a part of this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.